Mukham karoti vachalam bhangam langhaya te girim yakipantamam vande shi gurum jinatarnam Om jnana timirandasya gananjara shalakaya chakya militam yena tasamai shi gurve namaham. So last year we were primarily in Braj, although Krishna did leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura and also go to Dwarka. And this year we will be in Dwarka for the whole time, pretty much. And of course, Krishna will go out here and there, but also mostly he'll be staying in Dwarka. So one thing that we learned last year was that when Nanda Maharaj was leaving Mathura to go back to Vrindavan, in his Prakat Lila, means what we see with our own eyes, Nanda Maharaj left Mathura without Krishna. And he went back to Vrindavan and everyone was in great lamentation and sorrow because Nanda Maharaj came back without Krishna. But then according to, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti, there was another Nanda Maharaj who went back with Krishna and everyone was rejoicing. So what is this? This is the Aprakat Lila. This is the one which is not visible to our eyes. So Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the Prakat Lila, that which is visible to our eyes. But simultaneously, the Aprakat Lila is going on in Vrindavan. Krishna is always eternally in Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, that is the Prakat Lila, and when they are not visible, they are aprakat. So Krishna, Prabhupada also says, he's always present everywhere, but when he's not present before our eyes, then he is said to be aprakat. So both of them are simultaneously existing. What is the difference? In the Prakat Lila, we see that it appears to be under the jurisdiction of time, that Krishna appears, he grows, and then at a certain point he leaves. And he goes into Vrindavan, and everybody sees him, and then at a certain point he leaves and he goes to Mathura. And then he's not before their eyes, so then it becomes a prakat. Even Krishna was convinced that he went to Mathura. He says, I've gone, and then he's in Mathura, and he's lamenting in separation, and Vrindavan, everyone is lamenting in separation from Krishna. But actually in his aprakat lila, Krishna eternally remained in Vrindavan with the Brijbasis. So Krishna has two kinds of presence. Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the manifest and the unmanifest. And Srila Prabhupada explains that for the sincere devotee, these two are identical. Whether he's before our eyes or he's not before our eyes, Krishna is... we are absorbed in Krishna. Even if Krishna is not physically present, we are constantly absorbed in him, and so that makes him present. Then that brings him to us. And Prabhupada quotes, Premanjanat-strita-bhakti-vilochanena Santasadeva-vidayeshi-vilokayanti Yangshyama-sundaram-achintya-gunasvarupam Govindamari-purushantamaham-bhajami. Due to intense love, the pure devotee always sees Krishna present within his heart. So when Krishna is not manifest to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're always absorbed in thoughts of him. So although he was living in Dwarka, at the same time he was in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, if you are absorbed in Krishna, in thoughts of Krishna, even if he's not present, you will very soon see him face to face. Prabhupada says this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 13.155 purport. You see, Prabhupada gives us a promise that if you're always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, then very soon you will see him face to face. In other words, devotees who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, certainly return home back to Godhead and see Krishna directly, face to face, talk with him and enjoy his company. So in the Vrindavan Prakat Lila, Radharani is in separation from Krishna. And also we find out from the Acharyas that the queens of Dwarka are expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan. We heard also in a retreat, I think a couple of years ago, Lalita Madhava, where we hear about how Radharani disappeared. Anyway, there's a whole story, and I'll read it, parts of it, tomorrow to you. Because in our last class, it was about the kidnapping of Rukmini, and then tomorrow we'll hear about the marriage of Satyabhama. But in between, there's a whole Leela going on, and there's the rivalry between Radharani and Chandravali, which was happening in Vrindavan, continues in Dwarka. So tomorrow we'll get into that, not today. Yes. That will be tomorrow too. Pradyumna will come first, but he won't be there long. He'll disappear from from the maternity room, and he'll have his Leela. And then after that, the Samantaka jewel story will come. And then we'll hear something about, more about Rukmini and Radharani. So this also brings another point, that in Vrindavan, there's a difference in rasa. The gopis and Krishna, they're experiencing Parakya rasa. And in Dwarka, Krishna and his queens are experiencing Swakya rasa. So in the Prakat Leela, first it appears Krishna is experiencing Parakya rasa, and then that means unwedded love, paramour. And then in Dwarka, after that, he'll experience the married conjugal love. So this is another difference between his pastimes in Dwarka and in Vrindavan. Although they are the same gopi, it's an expansion of the gopis, but we won't see the fullness that we see in Braj, the fullness of their relationship, where they risk everything for Krishna and run to him in when he plays his flute. So that won't be there in Dwarka. It'll be much more conservative and much more of a commitment there between the husband and wife. And so we'll see different type of relationship between Krishna and his wives than we saw between Krishna and his gopis. In Jiva Dharma, there it explains that the intense love a wife has for her husband, called samanjasa love, occasionally displays a desire for personal enjoyment. Even in the spiritual world, it is this desire that keeps Krishna's wives under his dominion. However, the love a girl has for her paramour, called samartha love, is more intense, and it is completely free from desire for personal enjoyment. So samartha love only desires enjoyment of Krishna, and this desire keeps Krishna under the control of his beloveds. So that's a difference, another difference, that in Vrindavan, Krishna is under the control of the gopis. There is a verse in Bhagavatam. Mayamrigam dayate yepsita anvatavad, which describes Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ram. So in the case of Lord Krishna, it means that he was a plaything in the hands of Radharani and running all over Vrindavan chasing Radharani. But in Dwarka, you won't find Krishna like that. You'll find that the wives are very submissive and they will be following him. Of course, except for Satyabhama, she's Radharani and expansion of Radharani. But she's also very submissive too in Dwarka. She's not like herself in Vrindavan. So tomorrow I'll describe more about that relationship. And we'll hear also about Pradyumna's birth, and we'll hear about the Samantaka jewel, in which Krishna will actually get married to Satyabhama. Expansion of Radharani. Hare Krishna.
Om Agyatame Nandasya Dhanadana Salakaya Chaksis Amitandena Tasmai Yuravenama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Sapitam Zenavitale Sayan Upakadamayam Vatati Sapanatika. I've been reading this quite wonderful book about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, put together by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. And it is very, extremely powerful. because he's collected so much information on the mood and the different aspects of Krishna consciousness that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur primarily preached about. One of the main points that he preached and spoke about that was in the depths of his heart is the essence of what we wish to do when we come together. And it is, basically speaking, the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. Now there's about two and a half pages that I would like to read, and I may not say anything. So just please listen very carefully, because this is the essence of what we are doing. And it is always, always important to know what you're doing while you're doing it, because otherwise it's too easy to get confused and get into things that you're not really, that are supposed to be supportive of what you're really doing, and make those supportive things in your mind the essence of what you're doing. So please hear the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the words of this great Vaishnava Acharya, and of course the spiritual master of our Srila Prabhupada, and understand clearly that this was Prabhupada's mood as well, because he was always thought of himself as a humble servant of his Guru Maharaj. So the first part is he's describing kirtan, and because of the words that Mahaprabhu had quoted, Harayanama, Harayanama, Harayanama eva kevalam. And that means what? Kalo nasteva, 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 gatyanayata. In Kali Yuga, if we don't have Krishna's holy names, we don't have anything. Please listen. The kirtan culture, this is the words of Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, and then we'll note the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The kirtan culture, widespread in Bengal, had sprung from Lord Chaitanya's propagating Harayanama Eva Kevalam, but a misunderstanding of which had led to under-emphasis on the importance of Shravana, hearing Harikatha. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealed that Harikatha is the Sarup Shakti of Harinam. Just as Krishna is properly worshipped not alone, but with his Sarup Shakti, Sri Radha, recitation of Harinam is incomplete and improper unless accompanied by hearing Harikatha. He stated that wherever Harikatha is spoken is a Tirtha. What does Tirtha mean? A holy place. But it also has an esoteric meaning of threshold. Threshold is, as we speak about at the in some of our japa retreat this year, it's a doorway. It's the place of entry. So every tirtha is a place of entry into the spiritual world. And every place where Harikatha is spoken is a tirtha. It is an entry place into the spiritual world. Recitation of Harinam is incomplete and improper unless accompanied by Harikatha. He stated that wherever Harikatha is spoken is a tirtha, and that Harikatha is the guardian of genuine sadhus in a world where everything that surrounds one is ready to become an enemy and attack the unprotected. Moreover, he stressed that taste for and faith in Harikatha is the very root of Hariseva, and he would cite Harikatha hi kevalam paramam shreya. Harikatha alone is the supremely beneficial activity. And, quotation, there is no other method of well-being beside unceasingly and attentively hearing discourses about Hari from the highest devotee, who is the most beloved of Krishna. There is no other means for attaining service to the Absolute save the guided oral activity for catching the transcendental sound. He would quote, Tattinam dodinam manye megatanam dodorninam yadinam krishna sanlapa krishna payushavarjitam. I do not consider a day bad that is covered by clouds, but I consider it a bad day, one that is devoid of discussing the nectar of Krishna Katha. Srila Saraswati Thakur was a river of ambrosial Krishna Katha. Being fully imbued with and not different from transcendental energy, his words had the capability to enter the deepest recesses of a hearer's heart and connect them to the spiritual. Simply by hearing him just once, several persons surrendered and became his disciples. His potency derived from his own faith and dedication to delivering Hari Katha. Quote, without spending 200 gallons of blood in preaching Hari Katha to all individuals, they will receive no impressions. Even though we do this, many hearers remain unaffected. Nonetheless, we are ready to speak Hari Katha. There is a great lack of Hari Katha, a great lack. I've gone to 7 places that give liberation: Ayodhya, Mathura, Haridwar, Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, and Dwarka. I've gone to 7 places that give liberation. And after visiting numerous places in India, I have come here. I did not meet even one person who could water the desert of my heart with Krishna Katha. After studying Vedanta for billions of lives, one cannot attain liberation. To levitate 10 or 20 feet by extending pressing of the nostrils bestows no auspiciousness. But if one hears Bhagavatam from a person who is himself a Bhagavata, then all jivas in the universe are benefited. My steadfast hope is that by continually speaking Hari Katha to many people, one or two good souls may become heedful to it, may become attentive to its message. End quote. The Harmonist, his magazine, analyzes the nature of his speaking. The Acharya of the Gaudiya Math always speaks out the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is this which makes his language universally acceptable against the most cherished convictions of his audience. It is supremely thought-provoking. It always goes straight to the point. Not to the expected, but to the point needed for the prevention of any misunderstanding. Srila Saraswati Thakur revealed his heartfelt desires regarding Hari Katha. This is his own words. When Brahma, speaking with 4 mouths, and Anantadev, speaking with 1,000 tongues, are unable to complete their discourses on Vaishnavism, how little can I, who am so insignificant, say about it? Yet till my last day, may I continue to hear Hari Katha from those who really serve Hari and really chant about Vaishnava Dharma. While residing in this sphere, this realm, one must speak about and glorify Krishna to others 24 hours a day. Mahaprabhu taught that one should chant in all circumstances, even when sleeping and even when eating. 14 or 15 years ago, I used to wonder how could it be possible to chant continuously, for it would get mixed up with associating with materialistic people. But now Krishna has sent me friends who have given up all their varied engagements and have come to hear and speak about Krishna. My most worshipable Gurudev repeatedly stated that wherever there is no Krishna Katha, that is the world of Maya. and he forbade me to go there. I then thought that wherever I go, I will bring about discussions of Krishna, and wherever such an opportunity exists, I must go there. My job is to go door to door like a peon, reciting the instructions of my Gurudev to the entire human society. It will be good if all of you can extend this message to the whole world. It would be good if you can make Krishna known to all living entities. Always speak Krishna Katha. My sempiternal wish, my perpetual wish, is that in unlimited ways you constantly remain preaching Krishna Katha, then all my desires will be fulfilled. This was Prabhupada's mood. This is the purpose of ISKCON. This was the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And everything else that goes on is to facilitate, practically speaking, not in a fanatic way, but practically speaking, to facilitate the speaking and hearing of Krishna Katha, and of course the holy names too, and of course cow protection too, and to show an ideal lifestyle. But the essence is to hear Krishna Katha. In this illusory existence, especially in the present strife-torn age, the prevalence of discussing topics devoid of Krishna far outweighs the discussion of Hari Katha. Hence, it is the duty of devotees to preach topics of the limitless Spirit, Supreme Lord, up to the last moment of life. I have had the opportunity to hear and discuss these topics, Krishna Katha, since the beginning of my life. I have been discussing these points for 50 years now, in great detail, and at every moment throughout the 24 hours. And we can say that Srila Prabhupada never, ever became tired of discussing Krishna Katha and translating about Krishna and engaging in Krishna's service. He never, it was quite amazing, unimitable, such an attachment and a taste he had. For what? Just talking about Krishna. And when the devotees would go into his room sometimes when he wasn't talking about Krishna, he was reading about Krishna, Krishna book, especially. I have been discussing these points for 50 years now. And what does it mean that your taste is increasing after discussing about one person, basically, in his activities for 50 years? And rather, he's on fire, and he can't stop. When awake and even while slumbering, while continuously discussing these topics, eventually my body will wear out and fall down. I will glorify unto the last moment of my life all that I have learned from my gurus. Why only one mouth? Let me have unlimited mouths, an unlimited lifespan to unlimitedly glorify the unlimited qualities of Krishna's devotees. Quite wonderful. So that's what we are, what our desire is. We want to speak about Krishna, and we want to others to hear about Krishna, and especially others to take what they hear about Krishna and speak to others about Krishna. And this is how the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and of our Srila Prabhupada will be victorious. Param Vijayate Si Krishna Sankirtan. It will be victorious by Harinam, Krishna Katha, and by devotees who have cultivated that taste. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to read. When I read this, I was struck. Also the title of this chapter, in this particular chapter, is Service to Shastra. Yeah, Service to Shastra. So that's the mood. And the service is to hear or to speak or both, and not only that, it is to absorb the mind and listen, not only to hear but to listen, let it interact with the mind. Because if we don't engage our mind, what will happen? It will take us somewhere else.
It will eat us.
Yes, it will eat us up. Here's another little anecdote. Shortly before his disappearance, while Saraswati Thakur was sitting in his car just before leaving what city for the last time? Huh?
Jagannath Puri.
His disciple, Jadu Mani Patnaik, pleaded, "Now that you are departing, what should I do?" And Srila Saraswati Thakur answered, "Hear the Bhagavatam daily in the mat. Hear the Bhagavatam." Another quotation. Oh, here's two quotations. "I will speak and others will hear." Or, "I am the speaker and others are the listeners." This kind of thinking is merely insincerity. "I do not come here having planned what to say. Upon seeing you, I speak whatever Krishna dictates in my mind. When will I attain the fortune to be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas? It is essential to serve the established, pure, internal devotees. My service to them is through this feeble attempt whereby others will in the future embrace the right path. I will speak all these words for those who in the future will be Vaishnavas. I have no katha of my own. My Gurudev has engaged me in carrying to the world all the katha that he has carried from Vaikuntha. But in all respects, I am unqualified. I am without knowledge of language, and my only possession is unfitness in all matters. Only Bhagavan can protect one. So incompetent is I." This is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He's always surprises. So many wonderful things, really nice things about glorifying the Bhagavatam too. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is the first book to be read by persons on the spiritual trail. Sri Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are the crest jewels of all scriptures. They are as great and worth taking refuge of as is Krishna himself, and they are transcendental manifestations of Krishna Kirtan. And then he glorifies the Bhagavatam, but then he glorifies Chaitanya Charitamrita as containing everything.